Welcome back to Wings Nuts. This is the audio program that talks about each and every release. That's album, single, music video, you name it, from the iconic band Wings.
Maybe I'm amazed that we're talking wings again. And I'm happy to be talking to you, Emerson.
How's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Really good. I'm excited this time to be talking about this.
Me too. It's like, because we're also getting toward the end, I feel, of the Wings timeline. Is that right?
Yeah. It's getting closer and closer, but...
It's Paul McCartney, he found himself a band. You know, he's been playing with like a single band now for maybe 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
And now he's going to go solo eventually.
Yeah. And it's like cool to see him because like when Wings started, it was really like Denny Lane's vehicle, you know, and they were really in the shadow of the Moody Blues. But I feel like they're, you know, taking flight, catching the air and really cooking at this point.
Because we've talked about this like plenty of times before, but like, yeah, for Paul McCartney, you know, this is his first band and it's just like everything is like kind of big and exciting to him still. But yeah, for Denny Lane, are we talking Denny?
Yeah.
Denny Lane, he is the lad we're going to talk about. Denny Lane, he is our favorite one. Anyway, for Denny Lane, yeah, this is just like a second band for him.
Yes.
Maybe even a third or fourth band, actually. Like, I haven't looked into that.
For sure. And so we should say today we are talking about the single release called Good Night Tonight with its B-side Daytime Nighttime Suffering.
Which was released March 23rd, 1979.
Yes. Yes.
And we are officially post Emerson. And I said that I was going to like have a little woo because everything else we've covered so far has been prior to my date of birth, which is February 17th, 1979. And now there's a one-month-old Emerson out there in the world listening to Wings, maybe. Probably not.
Yep.
You said your mom was a big fan, right?
Yeah, and that's why I know we're rehashing this again, but, you know, I grew up with Wings was like the sound in my house. You know, my parents, my mom were big Wings heads. And so I feel like I've always known this band.
My dad named me after Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. Mm-hmm. And so we had that going and we had, you know, Michael Jackson's Thriller later. Like that's kind of the first album I like really remember. And I don't know. Wings was like something that I kind of discovered later in life after hearing so many of Paul McCartney's amazing solo pieces.
Yes.
Knowing that he was ever in a band was kind of cool to hear.
Yeah, for sure. Now, before we delve into the Daytime Nighttime Suffering Good Night Tonight single here, should we talk about some news from the day?
news.
Bong, bong, bong. And as always, we are pulling articles from the London Times because this is essentially a British band, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I pulled a letter to the editor called Cheese for China, written by John Sprague.
Sir, I fear that the milk marketing board will not profit greatly from my friend Per Sogman's suggestion of increased cheese exports to China until an odorless, colorless cheese is produced. Most Chinese react vigorously to its disgusting smell.
I don't know. That tells us a little bit of cultural about the times, kind of like a culture shock of East meets West. And is cheese marketable to China?
That's interesting because there is not a lot of cheese. I know from talking to Japanese friends, cheese is not like a huge, ingredient that is used out there.
Yes. Yeah.
That is like an interesting thing. I personally, I like cheese, but I'm not like, I don't need cheese.
Yeah, I'm a big cheesehead. Love the cheese. Love the cheese.
Hand it over, mate. Yeah. I'm pulling from the sports page, as I often do. And this is just headlined, second test. Bowlers face tough task by Ray Robinson in Sydney. Pakistan's array of batsmen confront Australia's bowlers with their toughest task of the season on the second test beginning tomorrow. If a fitness test today prevents Captain Mushtaq from bowling, the balance of the side will not suffer. Whichever way the trial goes, Pakistan can field seven batsmen, two of them leg spinners. While Mushtaq and Wasim Raja were bowling in Melbourne and Adelaide, the Australians had only a four-over glimpse of Miandad's leg breaks and googlies. Miandad's batsmanship at 21 is in keeping with the talent heralded by his test debut at 19 with 202 against New Zealand. Yet Australian scorebooks on his two visits show 16 innings at an average of 200. For this statistical oddity, he could well make bowlers pay in the weekend. And we both understand every word of that, so we're not even going to like bother to get deeper in.
No, we've become like cricket pros during this project. You know, we know everything about cricket, and I assume that was cricket.
Yeah, I knew from the start that was cricket we were talking about.
Yeah.
Which involves bowlers and leg breaks, something that we're very familiar with.
Yep. You know, you can't delve deep into wings and British lore without learning everything about cricket.
Yep, all that stuff. Okay, wild that they're around 200.
Okay, now mind the gap and hand it over to me.
Cheerio.
Okay, I have this article here. TV film on F-16's, quote, unfair, unquote. Mm-hmm. And it's written by our air correspondent. The American government sent a five-page cable to all its European embassies yesterday in an attempt to refute what it said were unfair and misleading criticisms by a British TV program on the sale of 348 F-16 jets worth £2,000,000. The Pentagon and the State Department claimed that Granada's TV's 60-minute documentary show last night was slanted and inaccurate. The program, entitled Big Deal, The Sale of the Century, suggested that NATO forces were talked into buying billions of dollars worth of fighters that cost millions more than expected, and which some experts said might not even be right for the job. Mr. David Plowright, joint managing director and program controller of Granada, said prior to the screening, "We are completely satisfied with the accuracy of the program and reject totally the suggestion that it creates a misleading impression." All right. I like this article because it kind of shows the tensions between the States and the Europe and Britain, you know. NATO's up in that mix and all kind of like it was the U.S. kind of like strong-arming NATO into buying these expensive jets.
Fascinating. Yeah. I don't agree with war. I don't like that that's an existing thing, but I do think that those jets are so cool. And when I was a kid, my favorite was the F-14 with like the adjustable wings that would they could become more aerodynamic. I don't remember exactly how it worked, but I had like little die-cast metal versions of these that were really interesting.
Oh, that's rad.
Yeah. All right. So, mind the gap, hand it over, mate. So I have an article. This is continued from page one, Thatcher in for Kill. And I'm wondering if this is Margaret Thatcher. Let me just grab, because I can't find page one in this newspaper, my mate. There were conflicting reports last night about what the three Welsh nationalists will do, but they seem eager not to bring the government down for a few weeks if ministers produce the bill for quarrymen right away. Up to yesterday, the government has always indicated that such a measure presented too many difficulties to be introduced. The Conservatives are now busy wooing the Welsh nationalists with an offer that they would bring in a bill on the subject if they win an early election. Past experience suggests that the voting on the confidence motion will not be as tidy as original soundings might indicate. There is speculation that at least one liberal might abstain, smaller groupings might not have a full turnout, and there could be cross-voting among the unionists. But all the signs at present are that it will be a close result. And so we understand what that means. And so what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think, I understand the ins and outs of British parliamentarian kind of rules and stuff. So I think I really understood that politics.
Yes, yes, yes. And I do hope that those Dutch nationalists achieve their goal or don't. Well, we would probably already know by now because of this being 45 years ago.
And Wales, you know, you can't underestimate Wales.
Yep. Go ahead and ask an orca.
All right. Tally-ho.
Cheer-cheer. Chim-chim.
I got another letter here. This is the last little tidbitty of news I pulled. It's called Find the Lady. It's a letter written by H. Allen. Sir, I recall that a friend, having advertised for domestic help, answered the doorbell and was greeted with the words, "Oh, I see the lady is suited." So, something we could completely relate to, right? Like, you place a help wanted ad and it's not quite what you expected.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, like this this British humor, I just love it, you know?
Yeah. I pulled, you know, I'm a big Mouldergate head, mm-hmm. and so I pulled from one of the pages of this newspaper, Mouldergate Inquiry by our political staff. Dr. Owen, Foreign Secretary, told Labour MPs yesterday he would be asking the South African embassy what exactly two senior South African lawyers had been doing in Britain. The two are believed to be gathering evidence for the Erasmus Commission into the Mouldergate scandal. Speaking to the Parliamentary Labour Board, Dr. Owen said there was no evidence they had acted illegally. If the Erasmus Commission were investigating Mouldergate, then the government should support such an investigation dealing with allegations of great gravity. And we do know that the Earth has a great gravitational pull, which is what allows all of us to remain standing.
Yeah.
And so I believe that this kind of went that direction. And so happy to hear it.
Yeah. And so often I forget that the 70s were a pre-Erasmus Commission era. And like we all know, the world changed at the conclusion of the Erasmus Commission. So it's like soak up the air of this time is amazing.
I'm also half worried that like I'm just pulling a random article about some historic monster that I've never heard of before. Or like making light of a guy that like eradicated millions of people or something.
Well, yeah, you did bring up Margaret Thatcher.
I did. Was she already the prime minister at this time?
Yes and no. I don't know.
The Mouldergate scandal, also known as the Information Scandal or Infogate, was a South African political scandal involving a secret propaganda campaign conducted by the apartheid Department of Information. It centered on revelations about the department's use of a multi-million rand secret slush fund channeled from the defense budget to fund an ambitious series of projects in publishing, media relations, public relations, lobbying, and diplomacy.
Propaganda.
Yeah, so apparently... Minister Connie Mulder, I don't know. He was a pro-apartheid politician.
Yes.
Apologies.
As everyone to, was.
To
back
everyone.
In those
days. Right. It'll be just chim chim. It would just be better if we all had the same amount, but we were separate. They're much happier there. give them the small houses. They'll be happy. That's such bullshit. Fuck you.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, shit. Do you have any more news of the day, Emerson?
No, that should do it.
Cool, cool. Should we jump right into this this single, Good Night Tonight?
You know what? Actually, I'm sorry, but I did pull an article from the Nantucket Inquirer and Mirror from...
Oh, cool.
Yeah, from... Was it 1979?
Yeah, yeah.
March 23rd,
and
then, right?
So you pulled this... We sometimes pull from the Nantucket Inquirer and Mirror because Paul and Linda took a vacation there one time.
Right, and like, yeah. There's a rumor started by me that Paul actually wrote one of these songs possibly in Nantucket.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think the song, I heard that too from you. Mm-hmm. The song London Town, I think.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. Yeah. Let's, I pulled a thing from the letter section.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Shocked at school committee's conduct. To the editor. On Monday, March 19th, I attended my first and last school committee meeting. I was shocked at how the committee members conducted themselves. They criticized people who weren't even in the room. It was hard for me to sit in the room and listen to the things they were saying. It seemed that every important subject that was being discussed was overlooked and tabled for a meeting at a later date. I went to the meeting for one purpose. That was to find out why Roy Porter did not get rehired for the varsity baseball coaching position. They read a letter from Coach Porter, and in that letter he stated how he felt about being a baseball coach. He talked about how all the off-island baseball coaches congratulated him for a job well done. He also stated that he had no regrets of the committee members for not being reappointed as baseball coach. The committee members gave him sympathy but could not give him a positive answer on why he was not rehired. Certainly, it could not have been because he is not a good coach and that the team did not do a good job last year. All he asked was why, and they could not give him an answer! Exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. So that's what's happening what do they say? In the States?
In the States, yeah. Across the pond.
Across the pond.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, we do have to touch on the States because this really is a bi-continental band with, as you recall, Linda McCartney being from America.
Wait, did you say Israeli?
No, bi-continental.
I thought you said Israeli is a bi-continental band.
No, no, I'm sorry. As we know, Wings is a bi-continental band.
Okay, understood.
So we have to
touch
on the States just a little bit. So thanks for pulling that one.
Of course, of course, of course. Yeah.
All right, well, getting into the single with A-side, Good Night Tonight, and the B-side, Good Night, or Daytime, Nighttime Suffering. Mm-hmm. Okay, whew. As we said, this was released March 23rd, 1979. Mm-hmm. And so I found a quote from Paul McCartney about this. Do you mind if I just read it to you?
Not at all.
To kind
please
of set
do
the stage here, the context of the song. Well, Good Night Tonight is the one that put me back on the map with a top 10 hit. I like dance tracks, and if I go to a club, there's no point in hearing ballads all night. You need something to get you up on the floor, and I'm into a lot of that stuff. We recorded it in a long version, as opposed to stretching it like they do now. At one point, Good Night Tonight was going to be the B-side of Daytime, Nighttime Suffering. We sat around for what seemed like years discussing it, and we decided... No, it isn't all right. We won't put it out. So we scrapped the whole thing. Soon after, I thought, that's crazy. We've made it. It's stupid. Why not put it out? Just because people are going to pan it. So we decided to release it. So that's what Paul McCartney, who was the writer of these two songs, said.
Yeah. Oh, so originally, Daytime, Nighttime Suffering was going to be the A-side.
Yes. So they. It sounds like, according to Paul, at least, they went back and forth on that.
That's wild. I mean, can I just say it? I think that Daytime, Nighttime Suffering is like 100 times better.
I agree. Yeah, if we want to jump to our A-side, B-side argument, I would say put out Daytime, Nighttime Suffering as the A-side, right?
That song's got so much going on. It's got like a lot of like layers to it. Mm-hmm. There's like almost like a Talking Heads sort of element. It's really just an interesting,
yeah,
fun song.
Yeah, Talking Heads, I see that when it gets into the bridge of the song. You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Down the river. Da, 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 da.
And the change-ups between the choruses and verse are pretty strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, like, there were elements of it, too, that reminded me of that movie Yesterday.
Oh, yeah. What was that movie? I remember seeing the poster.
Yesterday is a musical about, like, this guy, and there's a fictional band in the movie. Uh-huh. And that fictional band disappears from the earth, and then the guy uses their songs, and he like basically plays them as if he wrote the music that fictional band had written. I think they're called like the Cockroaches or something like that. And like I feel like, because there's some pretty cool tunes in that movie, and I feel like that there are elements of like, I'm wondering if the people that wrote the songs for Yesterday, what kind of pull some stuff from like these Wings songs.
Yes, like an influence. Yeah, influence kind of thing. Yeah, I could definitely see that. Thanks for the recommendation. I think I'll catch that movie based on your recommendation there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but more like a more daytime, nighttime suffering, more of like a classic pop construction of a song. A lot of fun. But I would guess that they went with releasing Goodnight Tonight as the single, because it had a kind of a disco flair to it, like a disco club song like Paul was alluding to, you know?
100%. I was going to say like Goodnight Tonight's got like a little bit of disco, a little bit of dub too. Like they're kind of going mm-hmm. in these like kind of funny directions.
And then when they're beating on the conga drums in there, a lot of vocal layering, you know?
And then Daytime Nighttime Suffering has elements of like, I want to even say kind of like that two-tone ska era mm-hmm. and like Talking Heads. So there's kind of like a New York punk. There's like art, kind of art scene stuff. I really liked that, but that, whatever. I liked both songs to be fair.
Yeah, but I agree. The Daytime Nighttime Suffering. Yeah, the rhythm guitar had kind of a, like a ska kind of thing, mm-hmm. like you're alluding to. And but what you touched on there with it kind of having a little vein of punk was interesting because from the book Band on the Run, they had a little bit to say about this song here. Mm-hmm. And basically this was released in an era when Wings was still on Columbia Records. Mm-hmm. And so Columbia really wanted Goodnight Tonight because it was a hot single. They wanted it on their record that came out shortly after this called Back to the Egg, which we'll be talking about next time because that's the next Wings release.
Cool.
But the record company was not too happy because Paul and Denny and Linda would not sign off on putting this on Back to the Egg because they felt like Back to the Egg had a punk vibe to it and this just didn't fit the vibe.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think they're kind of right.
Yeah, and can I give you this? I found this quote from a CBS employee. CBS was with a Columbia label.
Oh, and, I thought you said CVS.
No.
While you were shopping for medicine.
Oh God! And how about those receipts, man? Are they long or what?
Boy, oh boy, it was an elephant trunk.
And so yeah, so a CBS employee quoted on this band on Wings. It was too much money for an artist obviously past his prime. None of us who actually had to work with him thought Paul had much left to say. But how can you argue with buying a Beatle? I don't know what he meant by that.
Oh, because the VW was pretty big around that time.
Yeah. And so that, you know, they had some tension with the record company. And so I think Back to the Egg went on to be a kind of a disappointing album for them. But yeah, Paul probably made the right choice keeping this single. So this was just a standalone single, not off an album.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, and it did. Goodnight Tonight was a big hit for them. It went gold, you know, in the States here, it went gold.
Nice. Okay, good. Good for them. So gold means that it sold over 500,000 copies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that.
I think platinum maybe is like 1,000,000. I always like forget those numbers. Oh yeah, gold record is a song or album that sells 500,000 units.
Hey, you had that. You knew it.
Yep. I mean, I should have known it since we talk about it every week. Yeah, 1,000,000 is platinum. 2 million plus is multi-platinum, and then 10 million plus is diamond, which I think that Michael Jackson has done, maybe Pink Floyd and probably like a few other bands from like the old hippie era.
Yeah, no one's selling records like that anymore.
No, no.
And
nowadays, there's how many YouTube views you get.
And just to give you an idea for how the community of musicians at the time accepted this song, there was a musician named John Lennon. I think he's best known for being in the Plastic Ono band.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so he had something to say about this song.
Okay.
He commented that he did not care for the song. He enjoyed the bass guitar on the single. But he just thought the song was kind of weak.
I don't disagree with him.
Yeah.
It's very one-dimensional.
Yeah, the more I listened to it, the more I liked it. It like should we do our can we do our Paul's plucks now?
Let's do it. Paul's
plucks. Okay, so like I gotta admit the bass line for Goodnight Tonight was probably the best part of the dang song.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
It was kind of like a boom, 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 boom.
And it hit, but it like kind of transitions from that sort of like that like sort of like opening like like when your cat discovers the little thing that prevents the door from hitting the wall.
Yes, yes.
But I don't really like the way it transitions into like almost like the most boring aspect of disco, that kind of like sort of like my favorite disco is like when they play with the timing getting all weird. Is it Donna Summer's like is it Inside Out?
Yes.
Fucking what a song. God damn it, what a song.
Yeah, that's true. And like, why strive to have a disco hit, you know, when you're not going to do it as good as, like, this is no Bee Gees tune. It's no Donna Summer, you know?
Yeah. You know what I can say? Because I'm not, like, the biggest disco fan, but you know what I think I could say about it? There is, I don't think that like, Nazism could exist within the disco scene.
I think that's pretty fair to say, yeah.
I don't think I could picture like you know, like not the World War II Nazis at a disco club.
Yes, yeah.
Standing all stoic and stiff, they're like hair fucking glued to their head, holding like a snifter of a
It's funny you say that. Did you happen to see the music video for this song?
Yeah, oh yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking about that. The music video, by the way, like perplexed me.
Yeah. I mean,
am I using that word correctly? Like it just kind of like it didn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of confused me.
It was anachronistic. It had interspliced concert footage that was like kind of contemporary of Wings playing, but then it had like this 1920s club kind of vibe to it.
Yeah, and so at first I thought like, okay, they're doing a thing where like their like hair is like pressed down and they're being more serious, whatever, during the parts when they're saying like don't get too tired for love, don't let it, you know, kind of like the thing. But then when it gets kind of like to the more fun dance part, then we have Linda with her mullet, we have Paul with his little bangs, and you know, like there's no hair product and well there's no wet looking hair products in anyone's hair. The drummer's having fun and stuff. Yeah. But then like later on in the song, it's just kind of like switching back and forth willy-nilly. Like it doesn't.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this was, in all fairness, this was early in the days of music video arts.
Yes, yeah.
Pre-MTV, so.
Yeah, this would have been probably like a music video that was just made for like a BBC 3 mm-hmm. to, I don't know.
Yeah.
Wasn't there like a pressure for bands to make videos like this so they could be featured on like variety shows or something like that?
Yeah, when they didn't want a tour, but they could send a video package around to promote a new single.
Yeah.
And I think probably the last thing I'd want to say about that song, Goodnight Tonight, is I did like some of the hand drums in there and the audio layering. I like the part where it was like, I gotta go home.
I gotta go home. Yes.
I gotta go home. I gotta go home. Really fun, kind of brought to mind a Jeff Lynne production, Electric Light Orchestra, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, that was the part that I did like about it, was that I liked when it got into, like, it got kind of dubby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It got, like, yeah, like, kind of, like, almost like a hand drum solo that, like, leads into, like, this sort of, like, and also, from the very beginning, the lyrics are very, like, echoey. Like
there's a
lot of reverb and delay. Yeah.
Yeah. And like that's rediscovering Wings through this process. I really appreciate the variety that this band has on the offering. You know, they're always changing up the style and have new sounds and stuff. And like there's something a little bit weird about many of their songs. And Goodnight Tonight was I was a little lukewarm on it, but the more I hear it, the kind of like weird little touches like that made me appreciate it. Whereas Daytime Nighttime Suffering is just a good old fashioned song that really slaps and goes, and it's just a good song without really needing any tricks to it.
And it does, like, because I think what Wings at their best are, like, I love Band on the Run is like their biggest hit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's almost like their like let it be being like that hit song from Otis Redding.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
This is like their maybe that for them.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, but like they have these like really interesting like transitions where they almost like, you know, Band on the Run is like has two songs before the song itself kind of hits.
Yes. Yeah.
Whatever.
Up into the bubble.
I kind of like both of those other ones. I'm like I'm more interested in those two other two songs than what the song actually becomes. Yeah, they both sound like so interesting. Like there's like, I think, you know, what I'm realizing is that, like, I do love when music has kind of, like, a texture to it. Like, there's, like, both of those other parts have this kind of, like, weird, dreamy, emotional things happening. Whereas what the song finally becomes is just, like, this, like, band on the run. Which is still a good song, but I think, yeah.
Yeah. Better album cover than it is a song, but we already hashed that out a couple episodes ago when we talked about that album, right?
We did, of course.
Yeah, that episode went long because we had a lot to say about Band on the Run.
We sure did.
Yeah, but yeah. Now, do you mind if I skip to the Spill the Tea episode part of our episodes?
Yeah, but real quick, I'm going to do the same joke I did previously.
Oh yeah,
Band on the Run. Okay, we never much liked Wings anyway. As you guys know, I love like throwing Crass because like Crass was also pretty big around the same time.
Yeah. And so Spill the Tea. This is the segment of the show where we like to talk about any drama that may have come out around particular Wings songs and eras. And now have I got some tea for you.
Oh, shit. All right. Let's go.
So apparently... The lineup of the band at this point was rounded out with Jimmy McCulloch and of course Denny Lane there.
Denny Lane, he is the lad, he is in the band.
And so Paul, you know, he had been kind of emerging as out of Denny Lane's shadows and becoming the star of the band and really writing most of their songs. Mm-hmm. But so they had. They had decided to make Goodnight Tonight the single. So Paul told the band members that they could write the B-side if they come up with something good enough. How do you like that? Okay. So I guess apparently all the members of the band, even Paul's own wife, ran off to like work feverishly on songs to that could be a potential B-side for this. But... you know, they meet up in the studio. Everyone's ready to share what they wrote. And Paul's just like, nope, forget it. I wrote the perfect song. This is the one that's going to be the B-side. And it was Daytime, Nighttime Suffering.
Oh, Jesus.
Which is kind of like a dick move, right?
It really is. Yeah. And, what did Denny go on to do after Wings? Because they pretty much break up after the next album, right?
Yeah. And so Denny, I know he went into acting. He was in a show I enjoyed called Decker. It was kind of like an action hero TV show. So he played a bartender on that show.
Next time I see you, they're going to be calling me Decker because I'll be knocking you out. That's cool. That's like a you were saying a Tim and Eric thing?
Yeah. Tim Heidecker show.
Interesting. And he was in the Moody Blues before.
Mm-hmm.
Did he do some solo stuff, I guess.
Yeah. He had a band called Denny Lane Band and a band called Denny Lane and the Diplomats.
And it looks like he did continue to work with Paul for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if like he continued to like kind of collaborate with other people.
Yeah, I imagine so. You know, musicians, they always got to collaborate.
Yes, of course. Yeah, especially like if like, you know, it feels like Paul McCartney is a pretty good guy. Like he might pull some dick moves here and there, but I think overall he's probably like a pretty.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you mentioned Michael Jackson earlier. They famously did a couple duets together.
Yeah. They got really mad, though, because I think Michael Jackson bought all the rights to Wings.
Yeah, that's true. He did buy their back catalog. So
yeah, I know. I remember reading that like Michael Jackson bought the back catalog of Paul McCartney's biggest band, which obviously is Wings.
Yes, he was Wings. Yeah. So yeah. Yep. Okay. Well, do you have anything more to say about either of these songs? I think we were both in agreement that Daytime, Nighttime Suffering was the.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, but we haven't really gotten into Daytime, Nighttime Suffering. I wanted to talk about because. Well, first of all, I had a sketch idea way back mm-hmm. when, because, you know, people love to like discuss. There's even a website that I'm looking at right now called songmeanings.com.
Yeah.
That has the lyrics printed out, which is like where I'm reading the lyrics. But there will also be like a discussion forum where people discuss what like the song means. You know, like Hotel California is a very famous one where it's like. People are like, it's like
cocaine.
Is it cocaine? It's hell. It's like, you know, various things.
It's cocaine. Yeah.
And so I wanted to ask you, like, what do you perceive? Is there anything deeper in Goodnight Tonight than just like a guy that does that wants to have sex before?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it just feels like a guy like wants the night to keep going.
Not that I dove too deep into the poetic lyricism of either of these songs, but my initial impression is Daytime, Nighttime Suffering had a lot more thematic depth to it.
Right.
Tonight, tonight.
Oh, I wanted to give Daytime, Nighttime Suffering also, like, because we talked about with Goodnight Tonight, the bass line and kind of like mm-hmm. the dub effects and stuff. Do you have any more information about, so let's jump to it. Daytime, Nighttime Suffering. Was that one recorded prior? Like, Because I know one was recorded in Scotland and the other one was recorded in London, I believe.
Okay, yeah, yeah. You know more about it than me, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so Daytime Nighttime Suffering was recorded January 1979. It looks like it was recorded January, February 1979 as part of the album Sessions. Sorry.
For Back to the Egg, right?
Oh, you know what? It must have been for Back to the Egg. Yeah, because is it on Back to the Egg? Yeah.
It was a bonus track on, if you look at the current, like, streaming releases of Back to the Egg, I think it's a bonus track on there.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. When Wings, it's the same thing you had earlier. When Wings was recording Back to the Egg, Paul had announced to the other members that they could want a good enough song. All right. Mm. Anyway, that's so funny.
Yeah.
I remember reading previously that maybe it was Good Night Tonight. They recorded it at way to do research. Way to like hang on to my research, because one of them was recorded in Scotland, and I think the other one was recorded in London. Oh well, I had that information at some point,
mm-hmm.
but and it looks like so they recorded Good Night Tonight in like February 1978, and it looks like they recorded Daytime Nighttime Suffering really quickly, probably before they released the single.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I found like on YouTube a rough kind of demo version that sounds a lot like what the final version is. I think it's a great song.
What does she get for all the love she gave you? They're on the ladder of regret.
Mighty river, give her all she gets.
Yeah, yeah. And one interesting tidbit I found about the song, too, is that Paul McCartney's and Linda McCartney's son, James,
mm-hmm.
you can hear him crying about 2 minutes into the song.
Oh, wow.
Crying in the background. I listened really hard to hear it. I couldn't quite hear it.
Oh, that's interesting. I also found this. McCartney cited the song as one of my current favorites in a 1984 interview with Oprah Winfrey, and he has mentioned it as a favorite in subsequent interviews as well. Linda McCartney mentioned it as a favorite as well. Mm-hmm. Despite this, McCartney has never performed the song live. What was that noise? Although it was selected for inclusion on the history disc of the Wingspan Hits in History collection.
What do you think this song's about?
So that one, this one I feel like is just about the woes of like a burnt woman. You know?
Like a hard suffering woman. Yeah. Huh?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like both songs kind of are sort of like surface level. I could probably dig in deep and see if I could figure out more, but I bet it's like based on someone they knew who was, you know, maybe mm-hmm. always like throwing like a Nico type, throwing herself into love and then constantly yeah. like suffering heartbreak.
Yeah. Then the part that kind of threw me off is when he's like, come on, river, overflow. Yeah. Let the love of your people show. You know, I'm like, what? Is she a river now?
No, yeah.
You know what? Does this woman be water? River?
You are the river. I am the stream. Flow mighty river through me.
Yeah. Oh, what? What? Are they
smashing? I got the lyrics pulled up.
What's going on?
I don't know. Maybe it's just that, like, I don't know if in that instance he is the river opening himself to the stream, you know, being like, I will protect you, you know.
Okay. Or
if he's being this churned woman, who, like, you know, she as the river is like, you know, opening herself to the stream, even though it's going to cause her to overflow, and then she just suffers more.
Yeah. I like it though, just as an exercise in empathy and songwriting. He's putting himself in the perspective of this. I'm imagining like a housewife who's everything's put upon her, you know, and she has mm-hmm. some stress. So.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I had an Uber driver one time, and she like, she was talking about like the rising rent prices in, in like Silver Lake. And, she was like the suffering woman. Oh, she's like, oh, they just raise the rent, you know? And, mm-hmm. they cheat, they murder, they kill. And I was like, oh my goodness. Yep. 2 minutes at destination.
And then you put in, you put your headphones in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, cool. So I don't think I have anything more beyond that.
So Emerson, how many bass strings would you rate these two singles?
Combined, I'm going to go 3.
Mm-hmm.
I really like, I think if, you know what? I think if Daytime, Nights and Suffering was on its own, I would probably give that one probably maybe 3.5 to 4. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to just go 3. I think that probably covers both.
Yes. Yeah. Goodnight Tonight is a 2-stringer for me, 2 bass strings.
Mm-hmm.
Daytime, Nighttime Suffering is a 4-stringer. That's 4 bass strings. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'll round it out and say this A-side, B-side is a 3-string for me.
All right, cool. We're in agreement for once.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Should we choose an MVP for this singles release?
Oh, yeah. I'm just gonna say it again, Linda. You know,
I'm gonna like go with, yeah. Oh, I was gonna say I'm gonna go for like the real, like, I love the bridges in mm-hmm. Daytime, Nights and Suffering. I think that's where the song really like gets exciting to me.
Yes. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the turnaround in the song. Yeah.
It was produced by Paul McCartney and Chris Thomas.
Matchbox 20, I think.
He produced breakthrough albums for the Sex Pistols, the Climax Blues Bands, and NXS.
Oh, okay.
He worked with, I don't know, some band called The Beatles, Pink Floyd, Procol Harum, Roxy Music, Badfinger, Elton John, Paul McCartney, Pete Townsend, Pulp, and the Pretenders. Yeah.
Pulp, too. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And, like, I do, as I said earlier, I think that there is an aspect of Talking Heads in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I could kind of see a bridge between this song to NXS as well.
Okay. I mean, I probably like have to like live with it for a minute to, I don't just blindly agree with you, but, cause I like NXS. Like NXS is a band that has grown on me in my later life. And wow, they are, what a band.
Yes. Yeah. Well, cool. I think we talked these songs through. Mm-hmm. Next time we're going to be talking about the album Back to the Egg. That's where we're at.
And Wikipedia writes that Back to the Egg is the 7th and final studio album by the British American rock band Wings, released in June 1979 on Parlophone in the UK and Columbia.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're looking forward to like discussing that next time.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, that won't be quite the last episode because we're gonna have some offhanded singles and reunion concerts to talk about and the Wingspan, but kind of best of release. But yeah, we're getting towards the end of our Wings journey.
That we are. Oh, and I was curious to see if there was any chance that Paul McCartney and Wings performed any of these songs on SNL, and they did not. But the following they did appear on Saturday Night Live the following year. It was Paul McCartney and Linda McCartney, and they performed All Night Television and Coming Up.
Oh, I love that song, Coming Up.
I don't think I know that one, but is that one on The Egg?
No, that one's on McCartney 2, I believe. One of his solo albums.
We talked to, okay, this is we haven't talked about that one yet.
No.
Okay.
So we'll have to sidebar and decide if we want to review some of Denny Lane and Paul McCartney's solo albums after this, but you know, stay tuned. We'll let you know. And so, as always, if you have your own thoughts on this song or want to find a way you can listen into it, we may have a secret way for you to listen to these tracks. Just email us at wingsnutsprogram@gmail.com.
Heyo!
Emerson, thank you for talking wings with me.
Garrett, thank you very much for talking wings with me.